real business owners.
What's up, my awesome people? It's Trevor Cowley here, as usual, with my business partner, Kel Goodman. Guys, this show is brought to you by Easier Accounting. We are a nationwide accounting firm. We do bookkeeping, tax prep, and payroll. If you have any issues in those areas, make sure you reach out to us. Today, we've got an awesome guest for you. His name is John Hall. Guys, this guy's an absolute genius when it comes to web development and marketing. And I know a lot of you guys can benefit from the marketing aspect, understanding websites, understanding conversions. I had to have this individual on due to his experience. You guys are going to get a ton of value out of today's show. Enjoy it. Guys, today we've got an awesome guest for you. It's John Hall. John has, you know, a background that we ultimately wanted to hear more about. You know, we personally haven't heard the way that he grew up or any of the struggles that he's had in his businesses or, you know, to get where he's at today. But we wanted to interview him because we've heard a lot of good things about him. Kel's brother actually works for him. And once we heard a few things about him, we knew that we had to have him as a guest on the show. So, John, welcome.
What's up?
Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Like, tell us first off kind of, what's your upbringing like? Did you grow up super rich? Were you super poor? You know, we want people to understand no matter the background that you grew up, you could still be successful. So if you will, tell us a little bit about your childhood first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in St. George, Utah. Dad was not rich.
What did he do for work?
He was a landscaper. Okay. So I come from a background of hard labor.
Yeah.
You know, I worked at Staley Farms.
Okay.
Great job. Love it. I did landscaping probably till I was about 16.
You pulled landscape duty, huh?
Landscape duty, trenches were my thing. And, you know, I was always a gamer, so I'm a very big nerd. I was programming since I was 8 years old or so.
Really?
And
so you were ahead of the curve a little bit. When you started programming, everyone thought you were probably crazy and saying, what the heck are you doing with these computers and stuff? Because it wasn't like it is today.
Right. And the thing was, is I was always fixing my computer too.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know,
there's always
parents
problems.
Didn't have money. The computer we got, I think it was from like the DI.
Yeah.
And I was fixing it, trying to make it faster, just trying to learn.
Just geeking out on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that helped me out a lot as far as tech. And
yeah.
That's where I knew I wanted to be in that industry. And so I had my upbringing, you know, when I think I was about 13, 14. So I played a video game, World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Nice.
You know? That's it. I'm sure there's a few people listening.
It sucked you in, dude. Like,
yeah.
Not you, but like everyone that played that game was like, once you got into it, like sucked you in, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think I had like 2 years on that thing.
Did you ever dress up like the characters some people go hardcore like that.
Not
you know?
That kind of nerd, dude.
Yeah. I was
a closet nerd. I didn't, you know.
So you weren't total repping the nerd, but
no.
You were doing it behind the scenes.
No, I wish. I wasn't cool enough for that.
Yeah.
but I didn't have too much time to be able to play on it. You know, parents' internet was always getting cut off.
Yeah.
And so I ended up creating scripts that would play the game for me, ultimately.
Really?
And I actually ended up selling those scripts when I was like 15, 16, which funny story was, is I sold it to, I don't remember what company it was, but when someone...
Oh, a company actually came and said, hey, we want that?
Correct, because yeah, it was, the game back then was like huge.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's still pretty big.
Yeah.
And they could send, like sell it to users $15, you know, dollars a month. Like accounts were going for a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And so they could make a lot of money doing it. And they were selling accounts to other people already. And so this gave them ability to pretty much auto do it for them. They didn't have to buy users' accounts or, you know, go through that process. And so ultimately what I did, they waved money in front of my face.
Yeah.
You know, you're 15, 16.
As a young kid.
Exactly.
All you're seeing is dollar signs, huh?
Exactly. Well, they ended up selling it, I think, 10 times after.
Really?
I think it was like four or five months. After that, you know, I knew I was going to be in the tech space. Didn't have money. You know, I was grinding away at Staley Farms.
How much did they pay you or did you have to sign like an NDA and all that stuff?
Yeah, I did have to sign an NDA. So
yeah.
I can't talk about that number.
Yeah. But they've made their money back and some, sounds like.
Yeah, it was it was pretty cool.
You got the short end of the stick after they resold it 10, 15 different times?
Yeah, you know, I obviously don't regret it.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, I got a new truck.
Exactly. There you go. You were rocking a new truck at 16, unlike every other 16-year-old, right?
Exactly. I had a nicer truck than my dad.
Good.
It was great.
So it paid off then.
You know, it definitely did. And after that, I just started networking. You know, I was building websites. You know, a company, it was like my uncle's friend's business.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I want a website. He got priced out at like, I think it was like $8,000.
Really?
And I'm $8,000, again, money in my face.
How old were you when you heard that number?
16. I was like 16, 17. And so I started doing, I was like, oh, I can build it. Knew nothing about a website, you know, scripting.
With the right amount of money, you're going to figure it out.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It really didn't matter. You know, I was going to figure it out regardless, even if I was staying up all night. I ended up having to go to the library to finish the, you know, because the internet got turned off. And he was trying to launch it in like, I think it was like a month or two. And so that's where I was like, okay, there's a lot of money in this industry. Yeah. And I love to program already. And, you know, scripting versus web development, scripting's a lot harder than web development.
Yeah.
And it gives more of the design aspect also. You know, it's a visual thing. It's not just like a software that...
When you're programming, a lot of that stuff is kind of behind the scenes, right?
Exactly.
And a website's far more visual.
Exactly.
What I think is cool about it, and guys, this is something that you could ultimately relate to as well. He saw the fact that it made money, and then instead of waiting to say, I could do that, he said, I can do that, and then figured out the path after the fact. Then there was a hurdle that got thrown in his way with the internet getting shut down. So then he found another way to make it work by going to the library to finish building this website. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. The thing about business that I figured out is, man, I failed a lot of times.
Absolutely.
It doesn't always work out how you want it to. You're pulling out your hair.
Yeah.
Even nowadays, it doesn't get any easier after...
The problems just get bigger.
Exactly.
Because as you grow, it's just bigger and bigger problems. The only thing that changes... is that you become more adapt to quickly finding a solution, right, and putting out fires. And so I think a lot of people, when they're first new to business and they start dealing with issues, they start getting so frustrated and they want to quit and give up. And as you go down the path of building business after business after business, you realize that's just part of the process.
Exactly. I think the biggest thing, too, is not only, you know, because when I was little, obviously, everyone has like a pop stand at the side of the curb.
Lemonade. You're just trying to hustle, get a couple bucks.
Exactly.
You know?
But you always quit, right?
Yeah.
And so the thing is always finding something you love, right? If you find something you love, you won't quit. And those problems, they don't really become problems. They're just another day.
Yeah.
Right? You know, my biggest thing is 16, 17, 18, I was chasing money.
Yeah.
Right? Chasing money. And I wasn't listening to the customers.
You were doing it your way, how you wanted to do it. And that's just... being young, right? Like we said, you see the dollar signs and then you're just like, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to hurry and just get it done. And then as we evolve as a business owner, you start kind of putting your ear more closer to the customer, getting that feedback and streamlining your process and making your process better, right?
Exactly. Because the thing is I'm like, why aren't these guys referring people? Why aren't my retention higher?
Yeah.
Why are they, you know, stop coming? And I think it was like, I had three clients left, so you know I controlled the Goldstream market. I ended up doing social media, SEO.
And where'd you start on the social media side of things, like Facebook? When you say social media, or
Facebook, Instagram. It was just becoming a thing. Twitter, and I got in. So there's different types of social media marketing.
Right.
Black hat and white hat.
Right.
White hat is like doing its. You're tricking, black hat's more of tricking the system.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, it's following, unfollowing people. White hat's like pay-per-click.
So almost
ads.
Like a bot. I'm sure you're familiar with some of the bots and stuff on Instagram that a lot of people try to use them because they just want a high follow count, right?
But
they're doing it for the wrong reason. They're just doing it for a following count instead of getting real engagement, you know?
I thought white hat was always kind of like by the book and black hat's like illegal.
Yeah.
You know?
Illegal to a sense of, it's not too illegal. It matters on what
frowned
you do,
upon.
Actually.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're hacking accounts, like there's different types of black hat.
Yeah.
But mine was more of like auto-suggest with Google.
Right.
Where you type it in, it auto-suggests something. It was used to be based off of, you know, how many people were
searching that term. Yeah.
Right. So I created a bot that ultimately used a VPN.
And searched that term so many times over.
Exactly.
Which ultimately made it rank higher.
Right. Exactly. Which, you know, because my mentality is never, don't stop.
Yeah.
You know, a business doesn't fail from working too hard. Right. And no matter if I didn't have money, right, I was selling people on pay-per-click, social media, website design, and hosting. Mere fact is I couldn't afford pay-per-click. I couldn't afford, like, the money I did receive after selling that company. You know, I was stupid. I was 16. I think it was gone by the time I was 17, 18.
Did you have partners or anything like that when you originally started, when you were 16, 17? Like, because doing stuff at that such a young age like that, did you have friends that you hung out with that were interested in those same type of things? Or was it more like, I'm going to get home from school and I'm going to shut the door and close the blinds and get to work? Or
so it was more of the fact of when I was 16, I was a closet nerd.
Okay.
Right? Very athletic. Well, not very athletic. Let me rephrase that.
Okay. He was hella athletic. If you guys were here in front of us, this guy could probably throw a football over those mountains,
yeah.
You know?
You want me to see me do it again?
Some Uncle Rico shit, you know? So
it was, I didn't have any partners.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of went home, gamed. He reached out to me when I was 16. When I was 17, 18, I did have a mentor that kind of networking and
just, you know, introducing you to other business owners or
groups?
Well,
he was a business owner.
Gotcha.
So, you know, I always take the mentality of you become who you hang around, right? So I always try to hang around people that were a lot more successful than me.
Absolutely.
Because the thing is you find out really quick, you don't know everything, even if it's in your business, outside your business, but you always ask questions. And like, you're always surprised on when you're 17, 18, who will help you?
Yeah. The problem, I think, is most people just don't ask for help because they're assuming the no instead of actually reaching out. Because a lot of people that are successful, once you start getting up there, that's part of the fulfillment of being successful, is you can kind of lend a hand to somebody that's trying to climb that success ladder as well and just give them a couple nuggets to help streamline their success. And it's actually fulfilling to be able to do something like that, you know?
Right. Which, you know, I look at, you know, most of my friends and everything like that too, which is, it makes it harder because they're all, it's college, high school.
Everyone's out partying, having a good time. Trying to build a real business over
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And so they're always asking, where are you always at? Blah, blah, blah. We never see you.
Why don't you come hang out?
Yeah, exactly. Like, now they're like, hey, will you pay for my dinner?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now you're the one with all the nice shit, and they're wondering how they're going to cover next month's bills, you know?
Exactly. Great people, though.
Yeah, like, absolutely. You
know, like, partying and stuff like that. It's not my thing. They can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But...
So when you were you said you shut that business down or you sold the business when
so
you were...
it was just a software. So technically we made an LLC just as for, you know, safety reasons,
yeah.
But we ended up selling it at 16. 17, 18, I started a company, well, I think it was 17. I started a company called Basic Media. I started it with a buddy that was I didn't really know him. I had a girlfriend at the time that introduced me. He was like 28 or so, and he was doing it for another company. And I was like, dude, we can do this.
Yeah.
Like,
why are you working for somebody else when we could do exactly what you're already doing, but we can do it for ourselves?
Exactly. He was talking about how much money he's making them, how much, you know, money they're bringing in. And I'm like, why?
So was he doing like the sales side of it, or was he actually developing the websites? Was he the fulfillment or the sales?
So he was more of the video creation, marketing side, you know, the SEO side.
Okay.
And because I came from a programming background, right? Didn't know much about SEO, social media. I researched social media and, you know, SEO just to, because they kind of go hand in hand together with the website.
Yeah, I mean, some people want a certain website look and feel and certain things on their website to help with SEO, isn't that right?
Right. So usually you have code structure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, H1 to H6 kind of thing. So that definitely matters. Content, content to code ratio, you know, not to nerd out too much.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different components. Like, there's two aspects of SEO. So SEO, that's a word that's thrown out a lot.
Everyone's SEO.
I do SEO.
Yeah.
I do SEO.
Everybody does SEO, it seems like. You know, everyone wants to charge you $1,000, $2,000 a month or $5,000 to do SEO, right?
And we probably got ripped off by SEO guys like at least 100 times over the first 8 years of our business.
It's so, like, people throw it around. Next thing you know, they built a website on WordPress. You know,
that's garbage or whatever.
They're experts. Now they do SEO. Then you, like, I talk to people all the time that say I do SEO.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, do you do, you know, what type of SEO?
Yeah.
On page, off page. So obviously Google has, well, every search engine has a lot of different algorithms.
Yeah.
On page is more of, they look at the code structure, how your website's set up, speed, and, you know, overall functionality, not really too much functionality, but content.
Mm-hmm.
And then off page is you're dealing with backlinks.
The articles that have your business name in it or your website name in it.
Exactly. So, you know, I think of it like a dating system, right? Let's say Nike's a 10.
Okay.
And we'll
Nike's
throw,
a 10. I'd agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love my Nikes.
Apple's a 10 too, even though I don't like them. Let's throw Windows up there as a 10 too.
Okay.
And so, you know, let's say I'm dating 3 10s. Most likely I'm a 10. Google will look at that and be like, okay, this guy's relevant because, you know, we got 3 legit people that are 10. And
you're associating with
exactly
them.
Exactly. Like,
so you're guilty by association, either in a positive way or a negative way. So you would want it to be positive on the SEO side, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, it's like if I date 4 4s, most likely I might be a 5 or 6. And Google looks at, like, domain authority, you know, how long that's been up. They don't look at that too much because before, you know, old websites were always ranking.
Always ranking, okay, because it's, like, been around for 10 years, so they must be doing something right based upon the age, so to speak, right?
But they found out real quick that it wasn't always relevant. You know, drop-off rate was super high. And so they usually put a mark at it, like, 6 months. 6 months of, you know, the domain history. And so with on-page and off-page, off-page deals with, like, social media too.
Okay.
Google will look. Y'all just throw
they'll look on Facebook and look anywhere where they can gather information to see if you're relevant.
Exactly. They want to give the most relevant, you know, results at the same time the best results. So, you know, you definitely – they all go kind of hand in hand. And so I definitely needed to learn every aspect
of building a website and part of its SEO and marketing and making sure it's marketable. Well,
do you guys, so you guys do, I know you guys do like awesome web development. I've seen actually some of your guys' work, but do you provide some of those marketing services as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in it for the long haul. We're not just like, hey, here's your website. Good luck. You're a web designer.
Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, we build it. We help you maintain it. We host it. We deal with the security. And not only that, like, we're not the company where you have to come to us to changes for changes every single time, and we're the only people that can do it. We'll, like, show you how to do it.
Yeah. Like, educational as well as, you know, web development. Like, if you don't know how to use your website the way it should be used, it's not going to get the results you want, and then it looks bad on you. So if you add a little bit of an educational piece in with your business, it can help them get the most value out of that website, which reflects good on you.
Oh, absolutely. The thing is, you know, you guys have probably received them. You know, let's get you number one on Google.
Oh, those we people can get you ranked in the next 30 or 60 days, pay us millions of dollars, you know,
well, did
whatever,
you even
right?
get the press one call campaigns that just call you, like mass numbers, you know, press one.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, if we educate them as far as like SEO, when they do get those calls, you know, they're like, nah, I'm good.
They can, like, see through some of the bullshit now.
Exactly.
Right? Like, when instead of having them now go through some bunk SEO, you know, kid that doesn't know what he's doing, they're educated and asking the right questions. And if they don't get the right answers, then they know that's probably not a good fit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the thing is obviously don't take one person's word for it.
Yeah.
But our retention after educating as far as the SEO side of things, social media, our core competency is SEO, social media, web design. We do web apps and applications, and we do some newsletter marketing and stuff like that also, and pay-per-click.
So you guys do it all, man. I mean, I knew you guys did a lot of custom stuff because I've seen it, but I didn't know that you guys actually provided some of those marketing services as well. So that's good to know.
What side of the business is bigger? Is it the website side because that's the first thing that you work with? Or is it like, so for instance, is the website side of things like a way to almost get a lead, so to speak, that you could convert into the marketing side? Not, and again, calling it a lead or converting a customer, that's not a bad thing, right? Especially right. When you're bringing value. And if you know you could bring value, you're actually doing a disservice to the client by not trying to offer additional services that you already know will match well with the site that you built, you know?
Which absolutely, we always, you know, you obviously have to walk before you run, right? So we usually start on the website before even starting upsells, as far as social media, pay-per-click, or anything like that. But they all go hand in hand. So if I'm going to run a pay-per-click, you know, campaign, Facebook, Google, you know, Twitter, they give you a certain amount of characters. You have to stick with a parameter.
Are all of them a little bit different? So it makes it a little trickier. So you can't just kind of copy and paste one thing from here to here to here because of the amount of characters and all that?
Correct. And not only that, you have call to actions. And you can't really sell something on Facebook and Instagram. And after they click on it, they're led to your website, right? And so that website has to be able to convert. It has to be obviously, you know, good looking on the eye. Speed's got to be there. And so the website is the fundamental to start with, and then you grow from there.
Right? Let me ask you this: so this is maybe more so for us, but you know, I know a lot of other people probably get value out of it as well. Like on a website, would you recommend having almost like a landing page on your front page, or should your front page be more informational? And then maybe at the bottom, you ask for their name, phone number, and email if they have that type of business that where they want to capture a lead on their website, or should you put it right at the top and that's the first thing somebody sees? Or
so, are you talking about a form at the top?
Yeah, like a form, right? Like, is that the first thing that they should see? Is like, get your free consultation now, and then there's a form right there, or do you put the form more towards the bottom just in terms of, you know?
So it all obviously depends on the industry.
Gotcha.
To a sense. My biggest thing is you don't want to just kind of throw on and it's like call now.
Like,
give them information, right?
Bring back a little bit of value and then pique their interest, then get them to make that call.
Exactly. It's like a pop-up you get as soon as you hit the website. You can't exit out.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to get you to put
your email
in.
You're just like, screw this. Even if it has a lot of value, you're just like, screw it.
Exactly.
I'm out of here. Yeah.
You know, obviously you want your phone number, you know, email, easily contactable.
Yeah.
But maybe even running like on an e-commerce, running promotions as far as look at our summer, you know,
20% discount on swimsuits this, you know, or whatever, and capturing their attention with something like that.
You know, a scrolling banner with those different promotions, you know, that definitely helps. And, you know, with an e-commerce side of things, obviously you don't want to throw too much content at them. You want to sell your product.
So more like discounts or, you know, or something like that, just to kind of catch their, you know, interest or what? Or get put in our email drip to receive, you know, notifications of the next sale or something like that, or
so,
what?
So there's always a fine line of just throwing out discounts, right? You just don't want to say sale. Then it's not really a sale. Everything's on sale.
Everything's on sale all the exactly. time. So then it turns into being the new normal. So it's not even considered a sale anymore.
Exactly. And so, you know, on e-commerce, there's like Apple. You ever been on Apple's website?
Uh-uh.
It's more visual. They sell the product. Very little
words.
It's
like an experience almost when you hit it.
Exactly. It's your brand. It's, you know, Louis Vuitton. I don't know.
I don't wear it.
Yeah. Because our wives, you know. Yeah. I'm just joking.
Yeah, the fake ones that they bought in New York. Remember that? And they were haggling that dude. And I'm like, it's still too much. Bring it down.
Yeah.
You know, and they paid it anyways. But
my accountant said I can't afford that.
Yeah. Exactly. Not a good financial decision.
just kidding.
Dude, you know what? I want to hear about the greenhouse, dude.
Oh,
so, here's the thing. Like, several people, not just my brother that works for you now, but like I have some mutual friends that you have, and they're like, dude, you need to have John on the podcast, how they started, like, and I heard you guys started in like a greenhouse next to someone's house because you had no other workspace.
It was our house. Yeah, so I live with six dudes at the time.
Okay.
Right? We didn't have very much money. Six dudes split rent. It was
everyone's paying their $200 or $300 a month.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was so cheap.
Yeah.
It was so cheap. And there was a greenhouse room on the side. We called it the rat room.
Okay.
Because there was always rats running around. It was so hot. We put a swamp cooler in there. Figured out real quick that a swamp cooler made it hotter in the summer down here.
Oh, my God.
But it was just so, so hot. And you know.
So that was your setup of your office was in the greenhouse?
It was the office. Yeah, it was the office because...
It's guaranteed. You put out an advertisement, need an employee guaranteed to lose 30 pounds in the first month of working for us. Well, they'll sweat it off.
Yeah, the thing is we didn't really have too many employees. We were getting it going. We were perfecting the script, perfecting our product, and just kind of the overall process. You know, the biggest thing that I wish I did was wait a little bit and just kind of nail down that process because that ended up biting me in the butt later on.
Mm.
It's because, you know, you don't want...
You don't want to send out shitty work or whatever?
It's not really work. It's just like the flow, right?
Okay.
Give it that million-dollar flow of, okay, home. Here's your website. This is what happened. It's just kind of the steps,
mm-hmm.
every single step afterwards. You know, I've done it in the past, but it was more face-to-face. And we don't we have a lot of clients, you know, in town, but a majority of our clients are...
Nationwide?
Nationwide, right.
Do you do work for people outside of the U.S.? Or is it mainly just U.S. stuff?
So right now we're only in the U.S. You know, currency swapping with merchants, you know.
It gets tricky. Yeah.
Right. And so we're not really too big on that. I've accepted cryptocurrency from overseas. So I've had one or two clients, which that cryptocurrency actually made me a lot of money.
Really?
It made the company a lot of money. Because it
blew up.
Yeah, so yeah. We were even cashed out at that point.
Good.
But, yeah, I think that's the only thing that...
So that greenhouse, how long were you in that greenhouse? Like just a couple months or was it like a year or what?
It was about... I'd say about a year.
So you're
that's
telling me...
That's why I wanted to talk about it because I'm like, bro, I started in my basement too.
Yeah,
like I had our first sales guy, Jeremy, doing fulfillment. I was coming home after work doing sales in my basement. There was nothing down there but concrete and lumber stick walls. Like we didn't even have drywall. So we're like hanging carpet up for the sound barrier. And I was like, dude, I got to hear about the greenhouse. You know?
We put a vinyl on these windows. We put a vinyl. Like it looked like a straight... You know,
like
meth
a tweaker,
house.
Yeah, exactly. Like
it was
Breaking Bad episode or something
it was
like that.
Terrible.
Yeah,
and that was like the point where I'm like, whatever it takes.
Yeah,
whatever it takes.
How many guys did you have doing it with you at that time?
So it was only two, and then I had a mentor to a sense that he had another job, he had a family and everything like that, but he would help out. Great guy, and you know, I don't think I'd be where I'm at. If it wasn't for him.
Really?
And he had a lot more experience than me. He had a good head on his shoulder. He's been in this industry. And he actually introduced us to our first one or two clients when we were getting started. And that enabled me to pay rent. So thank goodness he gave me that.
Yeah.
But...
So while you were working, you had literally would see like rats running around?
Oh, yeah. So we put sticky pads on the ground and... We would come out, or we'd hear it squirming, and like the because it was
got
like,
another one.
It wasn't one; it was like six at a time.
Really?
And we didn't have too much money for sticky pads, so we try to catch as many as
you got. You got dead rats on a sticky pad. You're trying to get a 2-for-1 on a sticky pad.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I burned the ships. Right, wasn't getting another job. It was this, or I'm going broke.
Yeah,
and you know I had credit card debt and. I'm not big on going to ask for investment until I've
loans
proved it.
And all that.
Yeah, never had a loan. You know, if I was going to do this, I was going to grind, and I was doing sales. I was doing fulfillment. I was doing, I tried to do accounting if I had.
Sounds
you
like you were doing janitorial work in terms of cleaning up rats. And,
Know. It was bad.
It's crazy, man. Like that's why we wanted to have you on is the fact that I think a lot of people get. Caught up in trying to figure out like, I'm just not ready. I don't have a place or I don't have the, and Kel starts a business in his basement. If you don't have a place, I'm sure you have somewhere where you live, make it work. You didn't have a place to work out of. So you worked out of the greenhouse and was sweating balls for a year and, you know, catching rats on your lunch break, you know?
And that's the thing is that, you know, I look at the younger demographic, yeah. right? They're living at home. What do they have to lose, right? As far as they fail?
Risking something, yeah. What are you going to do? Live at home? Wait, you already are.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, I always look at the end picture. Where do I want to be in 30 years? Where do I want to be in 40 years?
Dude, I like that.
And work in retail at Zoomies or great jobs. Don't get me wrong. But that's not
a 30-year career. I mean, let's be real about it. Like, you know, I'm sure some people have done it. But after 30 years, you probably should be running the Western United States Zoomies, you know, not just one store, right? And so, dude, I love your mentality, and we make a lot of our decisions based upon, will this be best for us next week, next month, next year, or are we making the decisions that will benefit us in 5 or 10 years? Almost like the whole reverse engineering side of things, like projecting out so far and seeing if that today's choice connects with that 10-year goal, and you realized at a young age, which is very, very rare, that, you know, going to get a regular job doesn't connect with your long-term goal.
Right, which that's the thing is you had nothing to lose, right? Like, you know, what, I was going to live in a crappy house with six of my buddies? Like, I was already there.
Yeah. And so you were already your own worst case scenario, so you might as well get out of the situation, right? And fight.
Exactly. And the thing is, you don't need a ton of money. Like, the thing is, I always think, okay, if I knew what I knew now back then, I'd be killing it, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, that's me and my buddies were talking about the other day, and just knowing what I know now as far as saving and even with, like, taxes, and I don't know if you've ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. You know, that changed my life. I stopped spending money on, you know, clothes.
Dumb shit.
Yeah, like, not clothes to a sense that I didn't need, but just, like, making
lifestyle shit.
Just the extra
lifestyle
stuff. You stopped spending money on stuff to look cool. And you started saving money and just buying what you actually needed.
Exactly, because I always look at people that are a lot more successful than me. They don't wear anything fancy. Like, they're in, like, a Hawaiian shirt and shorts. And
Tommy Bahama button up or something.
Exactly.
They're not in the freaking, into the Gucci suits and this, that, the other. It's crazy. Like, one person, I don't remember who we were talking to, but somebody was saying that they work at, like, a Ferrari dealership, and it's like the guys that come Uber dressed up to go test drive a car are the ones that don't have the money, and it's the guy that walked in flip-flops and a tank top has nothing. He pays cash for the Ferrari. He has nothing to prove to anybody, and he doesn't have to try to wear his money, but at the end of the day, he wanted a nice sports car, and he can come in and pay for it cash. And so you're exactly right. A lot of people that actually value money, they value it so much so that they stop spending on just the basic stuff. Like, you know, we'll buy like a $10, $20, $30 shirt, not a $120 shirt, right?
Exactly. Ross is my best friend.
Yeah, TJ Maxx. You know, you get that Max moment when you see that $9.99 on that shirt. Like, yeah, that's it.
That's my birthday right there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, dude. They're like, but a lot of young kids, dude, they want to look the part before they're actually doing it, which in actuality hurts them in the long term, because the money that you're spending to try to look cool or try to look like you have money is money that you could have been saving, then investing, so that you could actually really be somebody that has money rather than look like somebody who has money.
Exactly. It's just like that Gucci belt's not going to make me money, right? That's going to sit in my closet. I might wear it 5 times.
Does that connect with your 10-year goal?
Exactly. It's looking at the end picture. Is starting a business, is that going to help me? Is that where I want to be in 10 years?
Yeah.
And, you know, just looking at it that way is
it can help you evaluate your decisions a little bit better in terms of, instead of making decisions, a lot of people make decisions that they will benefit from today. And so they're like, they'll do something and try to grab cash real quick, but it doesn't ultimately connect with long-term wealth, right? They're really making short-sighted decisions rather than taking a step back and say, okay, well, if I said I wanted to be here in 10 years and I reverse engineer that process. So all the way back to today, if I save money, that's connecting with the 10-year goal. If I don't save money and I decide to go, you know, on that expensive vacation that I can't afford, so I swipe my credit card, now you're in credit card debt and you're working just to get out of your situation rather than working to try to improve your situation.
Exactly. And there's always a, you know, what I've noticed in business is there's always a fine line, right? I had the mentality like 2 years ago of keeping the cost super low. You know, office wasn't very nice. Desks were breaking. I bought cheap chairs. And
the ones that sit like sideways, exactly. Like this, where you got the gangster leaning in the chair. You're like, it works. Sit your ass down and work.
But the whole mentality is, you know, as far as employees and everything,
yeah.
They don't think of it like that.
Yeah.
And just creating that culture, right? Culture, I think, is very big and something
huge.
I did not have before. It was always, you know, margins and the bottom dollar.
You were looking at the number rather than, you know, the person maybe in your earlier years. And now as you get older and a little bit wiser, you're like, man, I'll spend a little bit extra to make sure that they know that I care and that I appreciate them and I give them a good, clean working environment, which ultimately ends up serving you.
Exactly.
And connects with your goal of, you know, being successful. Part of being successful is creating an environment for your employees to where they feel comfortable, they feel appreciated. You know, again, that's one of the reasons why we did this and took this entire third floor, and we were sitting there debating it, right? Like, because we were the same way. We had a shitty office on River Road. You know, we had employees working out of like the broom closet. We set up, you know, we're just trying to maximize the space that was available to us at that time. And we're like, man, we really need to kind of step it up. I think if they're in a better environment, they're going to feel better about where they come to work every single day, which ultimately will improve their performance. And then circles all the way back, finally meeting us to where we wanted to be, which is getting more performance out of the employees. And that all starts with the environment that you put them in.
Exactly. So take care of your customers.
Yeah.
Take care of your employees.
Absolutely, man.
Pretty much, I think the hardest thing that I deal with right now is delegation.
Yeah.
You know, I come from labor.
Yeah.
Right? Hard labor, bell hay. It was all you and you. That's
so asking
delegating.
For help, right? Like you're
exactly.
Just like, if I want to do, I want it done. I know I can get it done. And then you're accepting all of these responsibilities because you know, I was guilty of that too in terms of handing off, you know, CBF over to Coulter, another company that we own. And it was so hard for me to hand something over because you have the worry of wondering if this individual is going to take care of the situation like you would take care of it. Nobody's going to take care of my baby like I'm going to take care of my baby. But in order to expand and grow, you have to slowly start delegating and getting rid of that. And that's just – and you'll go through a struggle period of doing that. But struggle just means you're ultimately just evolving, right?
Which that's exactly right. And, you know, the thing is, too, is like, yes, you can see by the bags under my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we all have them, you know,
yeah,
entrepreneurship bags. Let's call them that, dude. Listen.
It's definitely just trying to, you know, look at the employee and how you, if they're not doing something right, instead of attack, I feel like I'm doing something wrong because they didn't have the tools or the education of doing that properly. You know, I never blame it on someone saying, oh, it's just that person, you know.
So you always look internally like, what could I have done differently and taking ownership of the situation, right?
Right.
And when people start doing that and saying, man, I could have done this better, I could have done that better, instead of just yelling or coming down on an employee saying, you.
You know, what am I doing to cause my employee to react like that? Like,
yeah.
I obviously have built the right culture or environment for them to think they can get away with that, you know? And, dude, it took me a long time to learn that, too, because I actually heard that one day a few years ago, like, man, take care of your employees and they'll take care of your customers. And I was like, dude, that's so true. I wish I would have learned that sooner, you know, because, dude, that's...
I was completely guilty of it. I'll be honest with you in terms of like when I first came into like managing people and, you know, running a company, I was like, okay, you're supposed to be an asshole, right?
You're supposed
to, like, you need to be here at this time. If you're not, you know, like, you're going to get written up. And I was just a drill sergeant to the point to where people started calling me officer, you know, around, you know, and so... But my turnover was much higher. But I was just doing what I, at a young age, what I thought was supposed to happen. Like, you're supposed to like push them and push them and push them and try to pull more out of them. And there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do it. I had high turnover because I was difficult to work for at one point. And then you get to the point of maturing and you're like, I'm actually doing myself a disservice because I have high turnover. I have a high training cost.
Exactly.
And so it's just like, if I actually really took care of people and showed them how much I cared and appreciated them. And so I've switched my mindset in terms of demanding respect. I just show them how much I care and how much I appreciate them on a day-to-day basis. And then you get their respect in return rather than trying to demand their respect. And that's just something that happens over time as you evolve as an individual, as a manager, as a business owner. You're going to get better and better about communicating with people and understanding different styles, right? You can give somebody shit over here, but this one, you got to deal with them a little bit differently and give them a little bit more love. They can't take the shit, right?
Right. And the biggest thing that I think that made me realize this, you know, my mentor, because I was micromanaging. Like,
yeah.
I had a huge turnover rate,
yep.
just like you did.
Yep.
I was pushing people too hard. And I read a book called How to Make Friends and Influence People. And he was talking about a hard hat scenario. Like, no matter how many times he was going to say he was going to fire him if they didn't put their hard hat on.
Yeah.
And then he came at it a different way, just saying, you know, hey, I really care. I just want to make sure you're getting safe. Like, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Appreciate, instead of just pretty much condemn.
Yeah.
No, right?
That's great.
And it's just more of just coming at it the right way. And I think everyone has a different experience growing up, right? And when people look at my story as far as growing up broke, losing house, you know, I didn't have everything, but I didn't notice I didn't have everything until someone pointed it out.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have this, you didn't have this, you didn't have this, you didn't have this. And I think about it, I'm like, thank goodness I didn't, yeah. right?
You had the luxury of growing up poor, which makes you appreciate more things that you have now. And dude, it's all perspective, right? You just Absolutely. Have a really good perspective on things. And some people that grow up poor think that that's just the way it is. And they have the victim mentality of, well, I grew up poor.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, a lot of people grew up poor that ended up being successful. It's just, if you accept your situation, then that's you accepting it. Nobody else is accepting it for you, you know? So
I think another thing from talking to you today too is like, you're really good at reverse engineering things.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh dude, this process works like this, but if I reverse engineer it, like, I can give more value by doing this or treating my customers like this, or, you know what I mean? I've noticed a few things that you've said today where you're like, you take the time to like reverse engineer it and figure out, oh, what's going to make it better by reverse engineering it.
And that's why I love programming. It's like, there's so many sources right now of just like Bootstrap. Bootstrap's like a coding language, to a sense that they give you a platform to start with. And just reverse engineering, just like everything with programming, just taking someone else's code and being able to, not someone else's, some software's like basic code.
Like the foundation code to build
right.
on, right?
Instead of starting from scratch, because starting from scratch, you're just wasting time.
Yeah.
And so using
there's a lot of templates out there that you could start with, right?
It's not really a template. Like, nerds have a community, right?
Okay.
And so like GitHub, for example,
okay.
it's a place where you share code. And, you know, I just look at what other people have done, because obviously I don't know everything. And there's so many languages coming out, which, you know, I try to learn a new language every single year.
Really?
And so just seeing
why do they do that though? Like, I guess do you understand that? Because what's weird is, like, you know, we built a system on Ruby on Rails, right? A CRM, and then now we're getting told
we're rebuilding a whole new system because no one ever works in Ruby.
Yeah,
anymore.
Because they're like, oh, well, people don't work in Ruby anymore. Nobody uses that language or code or whatever, right? And they're like, it's PHP now, or it's the, you know, I don't understand all that lingo, right? That's not my side of things. But what's the point of like all these new codes? If you're able to build something on this code, why would they create a new code?
It's overall, like, obviously text changing, you know, browsers for one, if you're looking at the internet, but you look at compression. some code can run a lot faster than other codes. And it all depends on what you're looking to do. Like some, like you throw an iOS, you're dealing with Swift and, you know, some different languages for that platform. You know, some system, it's like Mac and Windows.
So some of them just integrate better with certain systems.
Some of them will integrate with certain systems and like they won't work at all on other systems.
Okay.
It's like you have Mac, like video games don't play, you know, as good on Mac as it does Windows.
Okay.
Accounting softwares, same okay. thing, right? And so it's all of, you know, just the way that technology is moving and how it adapts. And
That's cool, though, that you take the time to try and stay current, constantly. Dude.
Because a lot of people don't do that, dude. A lot of people are like, no, I only do this, right? They don't try to, you know, understand three or four or five different ways of doing something.
I wish you weren't so entrepreneurial and successful already, because I'd be like, dude, I want to hire this kid to come fix all of our problems.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing.
Build our CRMs.
Yeah.
You know, I still have clients these days where, you know, I like to take on clients, like, even with new projects that I haven't done before. Like, usually I'll be like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I'll be the developer on it just because I love to learn.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like chasing money. I like chasing education, what I don't know, because the more I do that, the more money just comes in.
You end up learning something new, which means you're more valuable as a human being. If you're more valuable because you have more, you know, ammo, so to speak, right?
I actually told Trev too before the podcast. I was like, dude, I'd like you guys' company to look at our new project that we have coming up too. So I told Chris that too, dude, but I don't want to pay his sales commissions. I want to work directly with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go straight to the
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. So let me ask you this real quick. Like, you're pretty goal oriented, right? And you talked about, you know, certain things maybe not matching up with your long term goals. Like, do you have a goal of building like a big juggernaut company and then selling it off, or like what are your goals over the next like 5 or 10 years with like what you're doing now with your business, or maybe something that you haven't even dabbled in yet that your ultimate goal is to do this that leads to this then get you where you want to be?
So as far as that, obviously nobody goes in business wanting to be you know mediocre, right?
Yeah.
And so in 5 years. I want to be the biggest agency. You know, we're already growing super fast, and you know, I don't see why we shouldn't be there, you know, 2 years from now. Mm. You know, I always have the mentality of what does Steve Jobs have that I don't?
Yeah.
Right? Like, anyway.
Dude, that's like the perfect mentality to have. Like, I say somebody has two legs and two arms and a head on their shoulders, you have that too. So they don't really have anything above and beyond you, except for they probably put more time in learning something and actually applying it. And maybe they don't get frustrated as easily as you, or maybe they do get frustrated, but they just don't quit and give up based upon frustration, right? Like, we're all sitting here, like, I grew up really poor. You grew up poor. Kel grew up, you know, I'm not like crazy poor or anything, but at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, you got that one go-kart that one Christmas, though. You told me about it.
Yeah, that one year.
That one
year. I think it was the year my dad got IRS problems, too.
Yeah.
He spent all the money before he paid his taxes.
Got an IRS bill and then put up the go-kart for sale. Sorry, dude.
That was the kid on the block that I hated. He always had the go-kart.
Yeah, that's zooming up and running up and down the street. You're like the one kid that got a go-kart in the poor neighborhood everybody hated, you know? So... But yeah, dude, that's the idea, is to let people know, like, it doesn't really matter your background or how you grew up. Like, John didn't have a strong upbringing in terms of financially, but he had everything that he ultimately needed, and he put himself in a back room and just dug in and started taking shit apart, putting stuff together, and just learning. You don't have to have money to learn. Like, the internet is real. You can go to online university and YouTube just about anything and kind of start figuring it out, right?
Yeah,
and
so success comes from getting started. You know what I mean? Like, don't sit around and wait for the perfect
luck
scenario.
Luck goes to the man in motion.
Right? Yeah.
And so, like, that's the biggest thing is just sacrifice, right? You sacrifice not going to hang out with your friends, not going to party. It's, you know, I went to college and I was that kid that would not shut up because I owned a business doing exactly what he did. And if there was a question that I did not know, I would tell the customer every single time, yes, because I would figure it out no matter what.
I don't know it right now.
But yeah,
you bet. Give me a couple of days. I'm gonna figure this shit out because there's some money on the other end of it, right?
Exactly. Even not even the money. It's education. Yeah. So, it was just I was a yes man. No matter what, yes, absolutely, I'll make that happen. Butterflies. I did that for a preschool. Did not know it was like butterflies falling from the screen. Never seen it before.
And it's almost like one of those MySpace pages that you put up in the back and have like money fall. That's what I had because I thought I was a baller. When I was making MySpace. Like 40 grand a year, I thought I was balling. Boss at 20 years old.
Yeah, 40, which that's the thing is just look at, even if you're, you know, poor, you know, your parents have aren't doing so bad, it's just kind of just going to get it, like you guys
it's on
said.
You yeah exactly. It's on you, man, not your parents, where you come from, what you know, what you can or can't do. It's a matter of just doing it, you know. What do you want? What do you good? What is actually, what is the, being the biggest ad agency look like, man? Like, what is that that goal of yours? How big is that goal? Like, I don't know what the biggest is right now.
And you're talking 100 million plus in terms of an ad agency, or what do you mean by
you guys are thinking little, man. Why what,
like billions? Yeah.
Really?
Billions. Like, the thing is you look at, like, any company, Uber, DoorDash, like, it's in, when you're in the tech industry, you have the resources to be come out with really anything.
Yeah.
Right? Come out with a new app, new, like...
If it doesn't exist, you build it.
Exactly.
Like, nothing can stop you.
It's like, we can do anything from a tech standpoint, right? So, building that, GoDaddy, I think we can blow them out of the water.
I love that.
And they're... They're a $1 billion company, right? And so, obviously, I want to help over anything.
But if you help enough people, then the billions ultimately end up happening, right? Like, that's just
it's okay to have that ambition to freaking be the biggest, be the best, be the richest, and still want to help.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, the people who make the biggest impact usually make the most money, right? And so, money doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. That just means you're impacting a lot of people because you have to have a lot of sales. That's a segue into the next thing I want to talk about real quick. Guys, if you're running a business and you're not good in one facet and you're more, again, on the fulfillment side, you need to figure out a way to bring in a sales rep, right? And so you're talking about growing this thing massively. And one of the best ways to grow a company in terms of mass is
sales.
Calling people, right? Getting people to reach out and make those sales, right? Like, would you consider yourself, you know, a high-performing sales rep? Or would you, you know, like, cause in some cases, you know, people can't do both. A lot of people are either more so on the fulfillment side or they're very good on the sales side. Would you say that you're kind of a hybrid, or would you say you like the fulfillment side more? Or?
When I started, absolutely not. I didn't know how to sell anything. I knew how to talk to people, but I didn't know how to sell anything, right? You know, so I brought in a sales rep, exactly what you said. I didn't know what I didn't know. And obviously, as a business owner, I feel like you should know every component and be able to not actually do it all, but know what's going on, to a sense.
Right.
And when he came in, he came from a door, you know, knocking door to door, and just like what I learned from him was unbeatable. Just kind of what sales is, you know,
the sales process.
Sales process.
You know, how to funnel somebody down to the point of getting that yes versus getting the no, right? So guys, if your sales are low or your sales are struggling, it might be because your sales ability isn't that high. And you might want to start thinking about breaking off a little bit of money for a sales rep. And one,
just I heard, building your team.
Yeah, just you know building a team. And I heard somebody say one time that sales reps are one of the last people to get fired when companies are, you know, thinking about making cuts. And the reason that is because the sales brings in the money, right? Like, and so if one, you don't know what you want to do with your life, go into sales, because sales bring money into corporations and businesses always need sales, right? But if your business is lacking sales and that's really not your strong point, maybe you should double or triple down on what you're strong at and bring somebody else in that has sales experience, whether it's from door-to-door, telemarketing, or whatever it is. Would you say that that was a big factor in taking your business from one level to the next?
Oh, absolutely. I think it took, you know, everything from one level to the next, because I think the majority of life is sales. You're selling your girlfriend a date, right?
That's the other thing about sales too, man, is like a lot of companies nowadays, and some of them are very successful at it, but some aren't. Like everyone's all about like trying to get their customers straight online, like by having the magical funnel or whatever. And like those things are all great. Like yeah, you've got to have that nowadays to keep up. But
yeah.
Companies that don't have like an actual good sales rep that can get on the phone and talk to a customer, I feel like they're leaving a lot of money on the table.
They are too.
And I know when we were talking right before we started, like you guys have agents on the phone, getting like people on the phone away, to get deals done and also deliver the product the right way too, you know?
Absolutely. I think over anything, if one thing fails too, like sales, like with clients all the time, Facebook might not be your avenue. We can get it lower Instagram.
Yeah.
Try it out. Like hit the phones.
So
we've seen it successful. It's don't give up on one spot and keep throwing money, you know, expecting a different result. You know, that's insanity, right?
Yeah.
And so obviously have a perspective of this didn't work because this, or, you know, in business, you always want to try to get your lead source lower.
That's what I was just going to say. I was going to be like, maybe if you're not getting a lot of sales, but you're getting a lot of leads, maybe you're just not that good at sales.
Well, that's how all of our sales are.
And how could you really tell if your leads are good or bad if you're really not that good at sales until you bring a sales rep in, right?
Sometimes you just need that human touch, man. Like all of our funnels are to get someone on the phone so we can actually, you know, not only get their business, but then also communicate with them all the time with that human touch so they get that human service that, you know, you can't do everything in a funnel is basically what I'm saying. you got to have human touch.
My concern is I think a lot of people are shortchanging themselves and their business because they, like you said, they're looking for that funnel, you know, that's going to blow up their business and make all their sales for them, and they can just be on the back end and just do the fulfillment side of things. But, you know, sales solve problems, man, you know, in terms of, you know, any issue that you have in your business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cases, you know, if your employees feel underpaid, you make more sales, you can pay them more.
Which you kind of brought up, you'll see it all the time, like click funnels and stuff like that. Like you
absolutely.
Look at funnels as like a tool, right? You know, when we run a pay-per-click campaign, we never look at, okay, how many leads they're getting. It's what are the quality of
leads.
Those leads,
yeah.
Right? Because I can send you 100 leads.
Dog shit leads. Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so it's ultimately just figuring out your demographic, dumbing that down, and then as soon as you know exactly who you're targeting, your cost per click goes down. And, you know, you can slim it. Like one company, we ran a pay-per-click advertisement for. It was like Wyoming, some small town in Wyoming. And we went off there and we just targeted it. And then we branched out and we kept on branching out, you know, in Wyoming.
Just kind of opening the circumference of what you were targeting, just making it a slow process of like, dude, we've got this side down. Let's like pull it out 50 more miles or 100 mile radius and just kind of grow from there.
Right. And they were getting a lead before. It was like, I think it was every 20 cents. And we targeted Wyoming, and it was like a dollar. But every single one we converted, it was like one out of two. And then the just like general area.
So even if your cost per click goes up, your cost per conversion goes down.
So
you know?
I think some people are looking at the lowest cost per click. And in some cases, that's not a good thing because you might get a bunch of shitty people clicking on it. So the cost per click is super low. You get a bunch of leads that are dog shit, and then you're not converting, and you're saying, "Ah, well, this is a horrible funnel or marketing campaign or whatever it is." But maybe you're just not targeting the right people, and you should up what you're bidding on certain things and be willing to pay a little bit more for a quality lead and watch that conversion rate just skyrocket, right?
Right, which ultimately, you know, figuring out what your bread and butter is too, like figuring out what your prospect customer is.
What it looks like, right?
Yeah, even like financially, like rich, because, you know, you could have 10 deals that are, you know, $1 million and then have $200,000 ones.
Yeah.
And so you definitely want to figure that out and find your niche, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, critical because you'll run certain ads for them. Obviously, you want to give something relevant, you know, sell by emotion, right? And so based off of the pay-per-click, make sure your landing page. So that's where kind of the website, pay-per-click, like anything
that's
you do.
That's where it all kind of comes together, right?
The fundamental is your website. And that's always why we start there instead of just taking on a client, okay, let's do your pay-per-click, and wasting their money. It's not converting. And, you know, good luck. We tried. It's, you know, building that foundation and then growing off of it.
It's like, we don't want to just do your ads and run all this traffic to a crap website that's not going to convert, you know? So I totally understand that.
Right. Because, you know, what I've seen is they always get discouraged. They're like, oh, my product doesn't work. And I had one client, this is, you know, a while back. He couldn't afford a website, but he was like, you know, pay-per-click, you know, I could afford this $100. And I just liked him enough. I don't even think I made money.
Yeah.
But I ran the $100. I think he made like two or three sales. He made like 10 bucks or something. And then I kept running it, and he was like making 20. You know, I kept on perfecting the ads. But it wasn't effective because no matter how many people I, you know, sent there, either the drop-off rate was super high, like their hosting was dropping off. It was super slow because, you know,
the load speed has to be good. That's something that we came to find out too, because we were having some load speed problems, I think, a couple of years ago, and it was like 3 or 4 seconds to load. And with how impatient people are these days, it's like if it don't load quick, they're going to change their mind real fast.
Yeah, it's insane if you look at the statistics on that, because even if you get into cell data where they're like one or two bars, like that stuff's got to load, right? You got to compress. You got to deal with compression. And that's ultimately why we focus on the maintenance too, is because you're always adding to your website image-wise. So we got to make sure it's compressed, and you know the hosting's like you run it off a CDN, and like everything's up to date to, you know, the specs to be able to load quick and conversion. Like we help break down their conversion. This is where you're failing. Well, not failing. This is where, you know, we can improve. I don't like that word, fail.
Yeah, I mean, some people are failing at it, and in some, it's not like they have to. They don't have to be, you know. Again, so I think a lot of people cheapskate themselves out of maybe doing it the right way, like spending. Somebody saying, I can't afford setting up a website, their real mindset should be, I can't afford not to making sure that my website is good so that that $100 does convert even better, right? And you start making more money.
Right. And as far as a website, like I feel like I'm not even selling to a certain standpoint, because I always ask me, even if they don't have a website, I was like, would a website do you think benefit you? Like I feel like we all can agree a website could benefit you.
Yeah, I don't think you can really compete in nowadays any market without a good website.
Without having an online presence. Let's be real.
Exactly. When's the last time you went to California? I mean, you didn't search a restaurant or something like that.
You always search what to do in San Clemente. Or
if you need a dry cleaner, dude, you're going to Google where's the nearest dry cleaner. Exactly. You're not going to just go scour the neighborhood anymore. Yeah. It's just not
open
like
the
that
phone
anymore.
Book.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know.
And the thing is, you know, you didn't start your business to become a web designer.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, that's what I see a lot of people doing is, you know, they don't have time to focus on their company because they're worrying about their website. You know, learning how to read Google Analytics, SEO, you know, that big word, SEO, learning all the algorithms and just kind of not knowing where to start. And that's why I love what we do. We educate. We help them. Like, it's kind of like holding your hand.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about products before. And it's kind of like we do whatever it takes to be able to, you know, save you time at the end of the day. There's a bunch of clients that I have that were on paper and pencil, and I could tell that they were spending like 2 hours a day.
Just
easily.
Penciling stuff in terms of inventory and stuff on their website, all that?
Exactly. They would go through at the end of the day, you know, look at receipts and, okay, this one's off, mark it, and that's just not an effective way to do it, right? And also with your point of sale system and your website, making those are conjoined,
The communication has to be there between your systems, right?
Exactly. It's just we look at how you're doing things now and ways that the website can improve it, whether that's invoicing, billing from the website, obviously selling products online.
Yeah.
That will definitely affect your business. Like that alone usually is worth it for the customer every single time.
So like for instance, if one of our listeners, like do you guys do like a free website analysis? I don't know what you guys, if that's the proper term or, you know, like what would it look like, for instance, if somebody that's listened to this podcast wanted to reach out to you? First off, where would they find you? And then what would kind of be the process if they wanted you to kind of have a take a look at their website and just like judge it in your eyes? Like, because you might look at a website and say, wow, that's built really well, you're good to go there, but you might want to tweak this for your marketing piece or whatever it is. Somebody might just have a dog shit website. Do you just flat out say, look, that's dog shit, we need to start over?
Well, we say it a little bit nicer, but yeah.
Okay. Just kidding. So no. He won't. If you call him and you have a dog shit website, he might say, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
but there's
you
some
tried
things,
your hardest.
Yeah, you get a good kid, you get a participation trophy, right?
Like, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, this
God,
is dog
this
shit.
This needs help.
Yeah. Which ultimately you can find us on Google, obviously.
Okay.
HFB Technologies.
What?
HFB, so Helping Fortified Businesses.
Okay.
And then Technologies. And what we offer is actually, you know, I'm a big on, you know, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
We'll actually create you a landing page to a sense and show you that, hey, we can build websites for one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can see the quality of work that we do. And we'll also run an analysis. So where your weak points are, from a code structure, and you know,
you'll tell them kind of how, like how fast their website's uploading. Here's this, here's that. So like they can almost have like a performance sheet, so to speak, or an email. Or how do you get that information to them? Or?
Yeah, so it's in like a PDF.
Okay.
Breaks it down, and so it will tell you, you know, what Google and other search engines are deranking you for.
Okay.
Whether it's meta descriptions, you know, also speed. And security also. It'll look at some weak points. SSL is a big thing that, you know, search engines are looking at now.
They're looking for the SSL certificate?
Yeah, so it just pretty much shows that it's like
a safe site.
Safe.
They don't want to just rank a non-secured website, right?
Right. And every time you run a credit card on a website, it has to have an SSL.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the secure lock in your top left. Ultimately, what that means is it closes a port on the server that
protects information,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Bottom line is, if you are struggling with the online side of your business,
yeah,
you can help them with any
which,
of it.
Which I would say,
yeah,
you know,
most companies
could be reaching,
yeah.
But I would say 80 to 90% of businesses still are either one, questioning whether or not they really do have it figured out, or number two, they flat out just don't know what the hell they're doing and even know where to start.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's the thing is, you know, I talk with so many people every single day where the web developer took their money, ran, and that's kind of why we look at the long haul.
Yeah.
And we do the hosting and the maintenance, and that's, you know, month after month. And
you like building relationships with people and servicing them. Again, that's what connects with the 10-year goal, right? It is taking care of people and servicing them, educating them, which ultimately leads to referrals.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, it's just a big, huge compound effect, and it's the right thing to do. You know, there's the universe is watching, so to speak, right? So if you're taking care of people, you're doing a good job. There are people out there talking about you, and you know, the next thing you know, you're worth $1 billion. Like John will be, we're going to have him back in like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. You know, I'll have to reach out to your assistant and move up the ranks to try to get you. But
I've been here for a while. He's been doing big things, man, doing good things. So I know your company's done well because you've taken on that whole belief system of helping the customer and really helping them succeed. And I think people should go check you out, dude. Is that the best way to get you is on hfbtechnologies.com?
Yeah, that's the best way to there is the number on there.
Shoot you a call or whatever.
Yeah, shoot us a call. There's a form on there.
So do they like schedule a consult or just get like your website information and say, hey, we'll get back to you in like 1 to 3 days? Or what does that process look like?
Absolutely. So it's usually about a 2 to 3, you know, hours after, because
okay.
we want to look at your website. It's not like, hey, these are your weak points.
You're not going to know all that immediately on a phone call, right?
Absolutely not.
You want to dissect it a little bit.
And we create a demo for you also. So we show you what it would look like if – what we would recommend for you of design, and you know, we describe what, you know, why we did this, like call to actions, why we use this image, and kind of break down, you know, colors are big.
Mm-hmm.
Like
what's like a big no-no color?
Red.
Red is. It depends what I've heard, because it's like stop, right?
Right. It's like you deal with what shade of red and like green. I tested one button on a customer's website just to like me and him were talking, and I'm like, colors are so big. And he had this weird like reddish. It looked great, but I'm like, let's turn this green. Like he was a not lime green, but more of a dark green color. Yeah. And started doing some research on the most successful green, and I think his conversion was add to cart rate went up by, I want to say it was like 20%.
Wow, just like by the color of a button. 20%,
yeah. Mm. And so red, even with logos, like branding's big. Like it's weird that you don't think about it. Like you just don't even think about it, but your mind does it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the subconscious side of marketing where you start digging a little bit deeper. Subconsciously, your mind knows red as stop, right? Like we all know that because we were raised to stop at a red light. Green means go. So having a red button, I mean, I'm not an expert in psychology, but it is what it is. There's obviously research that backs it, and you put a green button on there, a guy gets a 20% better conversion rate, you know?
Right, which the thing about marketing is like you look at like milk. They pushed how healthy milk was and everything like that, and as soon as they changed it to got milk, it really has nothing to do with the benefits, anything like that. Sales skyrocketed. It's just looking at it from a different perspective. Like Nike. Nike doesn't really advertise except for, you know, high performance athletes.
Yeah.
They
So now they're associated with high performance.
Exactly. And so I want to be like LeBron James.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear those Nikes.
I'm going to wear those shoes because I'm going to shoot the basketball better.
Exactly.
When in reality, if you got a shitty jump shot, it's not because of you're wearing Skechers, you know?
But you take that same mentality of what we were just talking about, no matter. You know, that jump shot's not going to help you. You know, money is not going to – like, being broke isn't going to help you. I think you pouting about it's going to over anything. You know, just that mentality.
Yeah.
Because you might play better, but it's all in your mind.
Yeah.
It's all mind.
You feel better. You feel like, oh, your crossover's just a little bit nicer.
Exactly.
I remember when I got my more first pair of those Nike pumps that you had to pump up. I think I had the off-brand, but the fact that I could pump my shoe up, dude.
Oh, made you feel
I was
so
out running
cool.
All the kids on the playground, you know, man.
The spinners.
Effect,
you guys
right?
ever see those spinners where you'd step and the...
When the spinner rims got big. Oh, yeah. When the spinner rims got big and there's spinner shoes. Like, they'll do anything to sell a pair of shoes, but...
I wanted one of those really bad.
Yeah. Some of the things that we didn't have growing up poor.
Payless didn't have
Payless
them.
Had them. Yeah, exactly. They just weren't
it was
the same,
buy one, get one half off, so me and my bro had to figure it out. You know, like I got the half off pair because he was older. But, dude, we appreciate you coming in and being on the show, man. You dropped a lot of nuggets for everybody listening in terms of marketing. HFB Technology, Google it. Set up a consultation or reach out to them. Just shoot them a phone call. They'll just do an analysis of your website. Just let you know some of the things that may be lacking on the site, some of the things that they could ultimately help improve, as well as anything on the marketing side of things, whether it's just Google pay-per-click, or do you guys want to do like the full thing, or do you guys say, hey, let's just stay in this lane on some industries, or do you do it everything, no matter what.
Dude, like they're going to put GoDaddy to shame, bro, so they probably do it all.
So, yeah, we've pretty much perfected. So we always start with one industry. We give a client pretty much a free website.
Yeah.
We perfect it so we know the market. Then we kind of branch out, like the plumbing industry.
Yeah.
Even the CBD industry. That's CBD and marijuana
industry.
That's
huge right now.
That's huge. Marijuana industry is where we started.
Mm-hmm.
So we found a niche. And I did one client, you know, and I pretty much perfected it as far as analytics, because then I could use that success story, right?
Yeah.
You know, people want to, you know, guarantee, like, okay, they've done it before. It's kind of like referral. This person had a good experience, so I'm going to have a good experience.
Yeah.
Obviously, the only thing guaranteed in life is death and taxes, but...
That's why we're in the tax game, bro.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's it. I'm telling you what, if there's one thing... that I wish I like reached out for help for, because it's starting to bite me, and that's taxes, man.
Yeah, like, the bookkeeping, the accounting, staying on top of your numbers. It's like you want to focus on your business. You don't want to have to focus on all the shit that business brings, right?
It's just like web development, man. If you're not good at taxes, get a good tax guy to take care of you. If you're not good at the web development side, like, get your shit straight with somebody that's a professional in that so that you can put your time where it's the most valuable.
Quit shortchanging yourself and looking at it as an expense. Look at it as an investment, right? You're investing into a better website. You're investing into marketing and ultimately investing into your business, which means more money coming back to you or more clients that ultimately find you, you know? So,
I have clients all the time that will like get a website done like 3 weeks, before us. They'll hate the experience, hate it because they try to nickel and dime it.
Yeah.
You know, some Joe Blow down the road was, he said he could build a website, he put a picture up online once.
Oh, dude, we've seen the worst websites over the years with our clients too. Like,
that's one thing you don't want to cheap out on. Because it's your brand, I know. Right?
People will judge you within the first 5 seconds probably hitting your website. And if you look like a high-end, if you have a high-end website, you look like a high-end company. Let's be real. If it's rinkety-dinky website, you're probably not doing millions of dollars in revenue. And if you are, you're screwing yourself because the perception is otherwise. Yes. Right? And so the reality is you want to have people perceive you as an authority within side of your industry. And the way to do that is through the online perception, through your marketing, through your web development and web design. And that's all stuff that John and his team could ultimately help you out with. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did, make sure that you share it with a friend or a family member. If you will, take an extra minute and rate and review the podcast. We've been getting a lot of good reviews, so we appreciate that. But again, if you get an extra minute after the podcast is done, make sure you give us a 5-star review, preferably. I don't think that we're 4-star material. So
The community's been growing, man. Yeah. It's been awesome. And, dude, we appreciate you coming on, bro.
Absolutely,
seriously,
bro. Appreciate you, man.
And hopefully someone reaches out to you, man, because I've seen his work. He does great work. Yep. So you guys should go check him out for sure.
Have a good rest of your day, guys. Be good.